The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoy this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode.
I am here.
All right.
No choppiness?
No chop.
All right.
We're here. We're live. Hold on. Let me just do not disturb this little guy here. All right. Morning.
Morning.
How you doing? You have one of those days?
I'm ready for our trip to Texas.
Yeah, you're geared up, ready to go. It's Wednesday. Yeah. And are you leaving tomorrow?
Yeah, early in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Dang. Yeah, because you're planning on getting there in one day, huh?
Yeah, well, as close as possible. Like last year we got, I don't know, like 3 or 4 hours away. And then because we don't have to set up until tomorrow, like around 10 in the morning, or Friday around 10 in the morning. So if we get there, if we get close Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
So that way we're not like getting there at 2 in the morning and, you know.
Yeah. And then you, just you and Joe?
Just me and Joe.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How did the tit repair go?
Ah, it's funny.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
Man, that thing. I got a story about that thing and another thing. So it needed, there's two things wrong with that truck right now. And one of them is the throttle has a cutout.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So if I'm barely on the throttle, and maybe people listening can kind of chime in and mm-hmm. give me some information here. If I'm barely on a throttle, it feels like it's cutting out. The gas is cutting out.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm towing, it makes it worse because it's like it wants more fuel for more power to get going.
Mm-hmm.
And if I smash the gas, it kind of goes woong, woong, woong. And it's fine. Like after that, like I said, I drove all the way to back east and back. And then I had my buddy reset the throttle, sent like the throttle position. Mm-hmm. Like there's like, you plug a thing into the thing. And,
yeah. The Camry does that too. Like 10-ish, 20-ish thousand miles or so, it starts acting really weird. And the mechanic has to reset the throttle and clean the throttle body.
Oh yeah. So someone mentioned cleaning the throttle body, but here's the weird thing. This mm-hmm. didn't just happen. This happened after I attempted to do a burnout at Pandas.
Yeah. Yes.
And I forgot that the traction control was on.
Oh, no.
So I'm pressing the throttle, and it's cutting out because the traction control cuts it out. And then it started right after that. So it has something to do with the traction control, and there's wheel sensors, but the wheel sensors, when they go bad, it puts a slip light on and these other lights. Mm. Those lights aren't on. There's no engine codes. So I had my buddy reset it and it seemed to work, but then it came back. So I don't know. We're just going to drive to Texas like that.
Yeah, why not? Hey, man. Hey, just freaking go for it.
Yeah, so.
Just freaking go for it.
And then the other problem was, you know, on the Titans, the blend door actuator.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of them in my truck. And then some trucks with dual climate control have three. And then some of the vehicles like the Armadas have six.
Dang.
Yeah, because it's like controlling the, it's like
right.
moving all this stuff.
Yeah.
So the one that always goes bad is really high up on the,
like, is that the side on the one on the side?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so there's one that's super easy to get to. You just pull that side panel off and it's right there. And then there's one that's above that. And that one is a pain, but it's easy if you do not have the Rockford Fosgate sound system.
Which you do.
Yep. And you don't have the adjustable pedals.
Which most have that. My truck has that.
Your truck has the adjustable pedals. Yeah. You do not have the Rockford one?
No, it's just the regular.
I could change your blend door actuator in probably 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
I may need to take you up on that.
It's easy once you know the tools you need and then what to take off. Mm-hmm. So I started with taking the blend door actuator off, and then I almost had the other one on, but then there's this other piece that like turns behind it and it fell down.
Like inside the
kind of like inside, and I couldn't get it back. It's like lined up, and I'm like, okay, now I have to take more stuff off. So I waited till the next day. Then I took this driver's seat out so I could lay down backwards on my back on the floor.
I saw that.
Right. And then I took the gas pedal out, which is only 3 bolts and a plug. Amazingly, all this stuff is so easy.
Uh-huh.
And then there is a computer. It's a BCM, body control module. You have to unplug 3 plugs and 4 bolts, and that comes off. And then behind that is the factory amplifier for the mids and highs.
There are 2 amplifiers?
No, there's 1 amplifier.
Oh, so the one you showed me was the only one.
That was the only one. So mm-hmm. That's what you get when you get the Rockford, like the upgraded system. It comes with a factory amplifier.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have to take that down. Well, that leaves these 2 brackets. And the one bracket is in the way of this thing. Like, it's in the way of everything. So I tried to do this with the, and finally I got my cordless grinder with the cutoff wheel,
and you just said
cut the bracket off.
Oh man,
because I'm like, all this will hold with 1 bracket and 2 bolts. I don't need the other bracket and the other 2 bolts. So I got it, fixed it, and put everything back together, and it was fine. But it still clicks.
No
right
way.
Right at startup, and it's not because it's only because I didn't key the gear. And the thing that goes in it, I don't think I keyed it right. So when it first starts up to open, it's over opening.
Oh.
So it's going up and going click, 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 and then stopping.
Wow.
But it was getting so bad. It was so loud. It was just like.
Is it like my truck? My truck is loud.
It felt louder. But it probably was the same. But it was just like, oh my God.
Didn't you change the blend door once a long, long time ago?
Mm-hmm.
Did that. And I forgot who did it for you, but like. Didn't they do it really fast? They didn't have to take off all that stuff. Was it because it was the first one?
No, I think they just knew it. I think they did take a lot of that stuff off. Like, you can do
it. But
this.
They just do it so often, they just zipped it all off. And
yeah, there's a guy on, like, you could do it by feel. Like, if you just close your eyes and go up there.
Really?
But I just, like, there's no way I get too frustrated.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a frustrating thing. When you're under a dash, like, and you're all cramped up, and it's terrible.
Oh, and then I couldn't, like, get one of my arms. I had to, like, go around the brake pedal to position the arm to hold this one thing. And then then you're trapped.
Yeah.
You cannot quickly move.
Right.
You have to, like, do this.
Undo yourself out of this situation. Yourself.
Yeah, and then later that night, I was like, laying in bed. I'm like, my shoulders. What's wrong with my – why is that my – and I'm like, oh, yeah, because I was laying on the back. Because
you freaking just twisted yourself in a pretzel.
I was like – once you take the driver's seat out, there's all these comments on the YouTube videos, right? Like, so there's some really great people that have posted YouTube videos about how to do this procedure. And then in the comments, you see people going, hey, man, like, do this and it'll be easier. Do this. And one guy was like, take the front seat out. He's like, don't even ask. Take the front seat out. He goes, it's 4 bolts and 2 plugs. Take the front seat out. And I was like, nah, I don't need to.
He was right.
The second day, I was like, yeah. Because the first day I was doing it, I was laying on my back with my feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Completely backwards like this.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the front seat out and then putting a pillow down, I was like, this is comfortable. My feet are up on the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like.
You're just like, lounging.
And the sun is beaming down on me.
Oh,
and
no.
So I had a ladder and a black sheet covering the opening of the door.
And your neighbors are looking at you like, what is happening over there?
Yeah, what is he doing? I just had a podcast going, and I was just
finding Zen.
Going for it.
Yeah. That's awesome. So my truck is tapped for, many, 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 many years, to the point where, like, as the kids were growing up just riding in the truck, that was just Timmy the Tapper.
Is that a normal thing in your life? You're like, something's wrong. I'm not going to fix it.
I mean, you know me pretty well. I think you know the answer to that question, Brian.
And it's not even like something you can't see or hear that you could just go away. Like, that is so loud. Like, I do
it
not.
Was, it would, like, yeah, it was loud, but I mean, it would eventually go away. And it had a cute little
name. That's like your whole life. Yeah. It was really loud, but it'll eventually go away.
Yeah. Little Timmy the Tapper. And then, when it would get real bad, the kid would be like, oh, he's mad today.
Yeah.
See, I do it for the kids. I do it for the fun. It would be boring if nothing was going on.
Yeah, you're like, I'll just buy a new truck.
I did that. Yeah. A problem 100% solved.
Solved. So I almost did that yesterday.
Oh, really? You came real close, huh?
I was at a dealership going back and forth on a deal.
Really? Wow. In the mud.
Yeah.
For wow.
2022 Nissan Titan XD Pro 4X. Mm. It had 57,000 miles on it, one owner, and it was white with all black trim and everything. And I test drove it. First time I've never driven a newer Titan. No, I did drive it. I drove a newer Titan out of my driveway because Graham left his here one time. But I never drove the Titan XD, whatever, never drove it. So drove it around. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, if they could get to this price, then I'll do it. And they couldn't, went back and forth a couple of times. And he's like, what if we could do this and this? And I'm just like, nah. I was like, look, it's not even the trim that I want. Like, I don't want the Pro 4X because every Titan XD made from 2020 to 2024 is four-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
When you add the Pro 4X trim, it just does these, lockers and this other stuff that I don't care about.
Yeah, yeah. It's just more like kind of bells and whistles kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's like the amount of money I needed to save off the top of the price of this vehicle was the amount they wanted me to put down. I could buy the trim that I want, which is cheaper and gets me to the payment that I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, so I was just like, nah, I'm good. And he's like, all right. I was like, but if you find one, if you get one like this, just give me a call. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was really nice. And, cool. Yeah. So one day soon. And then I did decide, cause I had somebody hit me up, about the Maverick. Remember I mentioned, I was like, oh, I'll just sell the Maverick and get a Tacoma. And someone was like, hey, how much would you sell that for?
Oh, really? Interesting.
And I was like, so I told him, and he goes, well, let me talk to my credit union.
Yeah.
And see. So the Maverick might be going bye-bye.
Wow, that's, you know what? If you go way, 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 way back to the beginning of the whole Maverick thing, in the beginning, you said you were buying it at a price that this may happen. Like, it was never like a
forever car?
Yeah, it was never like a forever car. There's always a possibility of that happening just because of circumstances that you got it in.
Yeah.
Because you got it in the very beginning when they weren't even in production.
No, and they
you
were. Got it.
I thought they weren't. No, I thought you pre-ordered it.
Mine's a 2023. They came out in 2022.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm misremembering.
Back then, if you wanted to buy a Maverick, you had to order one. There were none on the lot.
Oh, that's why.
They were in such high demand that they couldn't touch the lot without being sold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it was. And when I first bought it, I had buyer's remorse in getting it because I hadn't bought a new car in a long time. So I was like, I don't know. And then I ended up actually falling in love with it.
I remember that when you went out to the garage, you're like, I don't need this thing.
I don't need this thing. Yeah. But no, I love that. Like, I would
turns out it's an awesome truck.
I would actually, if I did sell the Maverick and then I bought a Titan XD, there's no way that I could daily drive an XD going back and forth to Pandas, doing all this stuff. I could, but it's hard to daily drive a half ton pickup truck, even a brand new one that gets 20 something miles to the gallon. Like after getting 40 miles to the gallon.
Yeah. It's hard to go back.
It's hard to go backwards.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I have to mentally prepare myself to do this. And I don't think I was mentally prepared to off the Maverick and then get it back. Cause it would be essentially like driving this Titan.
Yeah. It's the one
I have right now. It's the same truck.
Mm hmm.
It would be essentially like driving that. Granted, it does get a little bit better gas mileage. It is nicer. It's when it comes to the gas mileage thing.
Yeah. No,
so I'm just
totally.
So in my brain, I'm like, okay, I'll just sell the Maverick, take the money I make off that, and then buy a little Toyota pickup and just drive that. But then I'm like, Toyota pickups don't get good gas mileage.
No, my Tacoma only get at best around town has been getting about 12, 13 around town.
Yeah.
And it gets crazy. About 18, 19 on the freeway.
Yeah. That's worse than the Triton I'm driving right now.
Yeah.
So like I'm just mentally preparing myself to like, is this something I want to do? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's always a conundrum, isn't it? Like, well, I feel like we have this conversation a lot, like trying to like posturize and position ourselves. Like, what are we going to do? I want to do this. And, you know, like even leading up to buying the Tundra was the same scenario. Like, what, you know, are we going to do this? And then you do it and then you're, you know, you're kind of happy. Like, I enjoy driving the Tundra all the time.
Well, my thing is like, it's a tool for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to tow the enclosed trailer with my truck in it, with my booth in it,
mm-hmm.
or with multiple booths in it, across country, I know that this current vehicle I have will do it, but it's at the capacity. It's
right.
like pushing it. So that means, and it's old, so I don't want to break down. I'm more worried about like it, something happening to it versus the capability of it.
That's what I would assume.
Yeah. So this XD... Like I even priced out, like I looked at all the capabilities of the new Tundra and priced one of those. And then I looked at the capabilities of the XD and then the capabilities of an F-250 and then like did all this thing. And I'm just like, the XD does exactly what the new Tundra does, but it's a heavier duty chassis and it's a lot cheaper than this. So I'm just like, man, there's just going through all these numbers in my head and just all these scenarios. And I'm just like, I want to do this, make something happen by a certain time next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not like in a rush. So I'm just starting this planning now.
That's the I think that is the number one key to everything when people are making decisions is have patience. Be patient.
Yeah.
I learned that through the Tundra, you know, all the time thought leading up to that. I learned that especially with the Tacoma. Being patient and waiting for the right one. And then also on the other side of that coin is being patient, but also ready to act when the time is right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of don't like all that and like take the time to be patient, but also be ready to make the decision when the time comes and don't let it go, you know?
Yeah.
Because that happens a lot too.
I think what it is know what you want.
Yeah, definitely.
Because when I was in that dealership, that truck did not have seat heaters, right? Don't ask me why seat heaters are important to me.
Uh-huh.
I don't need them. I've never had them. Literally never had them.
Right. But something about it.
But the SV package versus the Pro 4X package, I want the SV package. So in my brain, I'm just like, if I make this deal and I drive with this truck away, I'm still going to be like, man, wish I had seat heaters.
Right. It like, needs to be everything you want it to be.
Especially when you're spending money,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what a lot of money is, because there's, you know, a lot of money is different to different people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a lot of money for me. So I'm just like, I need to make sure it's what I want.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I'm like starting this journey now of changing things versus right when I need it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So speaking about Titans, mine's still sitting on Marketplace. If anybody wants a Titan. I haven't really told you about my Marketplace adventures, have I?
No.
It's been very interesting.
Yeah.
Not for the Titan. I have... Okay, actually, the Titan is interesting to break down as well. I have not gotten one inquiry on the Titan.
Yeah.
Not a single one, which is really strange. Like, I at least thought I would get those dudes who are like, I'll give you $3,500 for it. I'll give you $2,000 for it.
I've
gotten nothing, which is really weird. But then I realized, because I posted it, I removed it, and I posted it again. And I realized after the first time I posted it and posted it again, I had it in the wrong thing. I didn't click automotive. Mm. I just put it in the general marketplace. I realized that afterwards. I'm like, oh, so I put it in the correct marketplace. I just haven't gotten any single bite on it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's too high. I don't know if the used car market is like soft right now. I really don't know.
The used car market for trucks is strong right now.
Hmm.
Like, that's interesting. They're insanely expensive.
Yeah, and you would figure that. You would figure that the barrier for entry on a brand new truck minimum is like $40,000.
Yeah.
Right? So you would think someone who needs a decent truck, a $6,000 truck, would be like, oh yeah, that, you know, I'm gonna check this out. But again, nothing. It's really strange.
Put yourself in the place of a buyer.
Okay.
Right. Of a half ton truck buyer that is on a budget, and go on Marketplace and search for trucks and see what they're selling for.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you're like, oh, I only got $5,000, I need something to start my landscaping company, or I need whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're finding Titans for $5,000 and under, that's why no one's hitting you up, because your truck, the reason your truck is priced where it's at is because it's got nicer paint than other Titans. It's got nicer interior than other Titans. It's got whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like when I go to sell my truck, it'll be interesting, because my truck has brand new everything with a tune and header. Like it's a new seat and all this badass stereo. But it's got almost 400,000 miles.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine the person, me as the seller, I'm, like, excited because I'm like, this truck runs great. It does all this stuff great. But the buyer, if I'm the buyer, I won't even look at that truck.
Right, yeah. No, I know. When I was looking at Tacomas, if it had anything close to 300, it's like, nope, moving on.
Yeah. So, like, look at other Titans for sale, or just trucks, you know, F-150s, older mid-2000 Chevys, and see what they're priced at. And you just, even like you said, though, it's weird that you haven't gotten the guys to low buy you.
Yeah, it's really strange.
So who knows? You probably don't need to sell it right now, but
that's what we had this kind of discussion offhand. Yeah. But like, yeah, it's just sitting there. Maybe one day someone, but then again, is that a problem too? Like, this thing's been sitting on Marketplace for, you know, 8 months. Like, what's going on with it? So like, it's this weird, like, weird whole weird scenario.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is I also have, so I have a couple listings. I don't know if people have seen, because I guess like when you post a listing, it shows all your friends what you're selling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why Tony messages you all the time. Because these people live on Marketplace.
Yeah.
And live on Facebook.
So I have a couple going. I also put up the Airstream. I've talked about the Airstream before.
Yeah.
And but that's up now. You know, we after a lot of talking with the family and everything, we wanted to try to find something else. So that's up there. Nothing really going on with that. However, I've got this little tiny vintage trailer. It's an early 60s Shasta trailer. I called it a Shasta. Someone else just recently told me it's actually a Santa Fe. It could be either, because it's like I don't have paperwork for it, so I don't have a title or anything for it. It's actually an interesting story how I came across this. And so I don't have a title. But it is definitely early 60s, either a Shasta or a Santa Fe, very similar. Tiny little 10-foot trailer. It's got a little, like, there's no like bathroom in it or anything. It's got a little kitchenette, little stove, little, you know, so it's not bad. It's a complete thing. It's got some problems. The roof leaks. So it's got some, you know, damage, water damage and stuff. It's not bad. So, let me tell you how I got this trailer first. It's actually really interesting. So I knew this guy a long, long time ago. He was in my old club, and, his grandpa had it sitting in a field. And so him and his grandpa decided, like, they're going to restore it, because at the time he was going to school for something down in San Diego. So he was going to, like, temporarily live in this thing while he was going to school, which he did. So they painted it. They redid the interior. They put a new floor in it. Really made it nice. And he even took it to Rezo a couple times. Really nice trailer. So then he moved on, went to his parents' house. It was sitting there. And I hit up his mom about it one time. And I was like, hey, you know, what's going on with that trailer? And she's all, well, you know, if you want it, I'll sell it to you. And I was like, okay, cool. And this is probably 2000, I would say around 2007, 2008, so somewhere around that time. And she says, how much do you want for it? And she said, I want $3,000 for it. And I was like, oh, I said, yeah, no, you know, I was, and this is funny leading up to the other side of it. I said, no, you know, I don't really want to spend that much money. And she's like, okay, no problem. So then one day she hits me up out of the blue and she says, you know what? Come get it. It's yours. You can have it. And I was like, what? And I was like, she's like, yeah, just come get it and you can have it. And I was like, okay. So I got it. And I was actually using it as a merch trailer for a few years. I took it to a lot of shows and I used to put all my merch in it and all the racks and everything, take it to a show. It was really cool. We camped at West Coast a couple times in it. It was pretty cool. And then like everything just went to the backyard and slowly fell apart. Like, but it's not like dilapidated. It's still a thing, right? So fast forward to the future. Now I want to sell it. Okay. You know, and actually kind of funny enough, the ironic part is I told myself, I said, hey, you know what? That was really cool of that lady to afford me that opportunity to have this trailer to do some stuff with it. I'm going to pay it forward. Well, you know, greed is a funny thing, right? So now I'm like, and I was, you know, but then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sell this thing. I'm going to try to sell it. So I know a couple guys up here. It's funny. There's this group of guys up here in the desert. They're all like custom guys in the regards of like late 50s, early 60s custom cars. And they have vintage trailers as well. And they call themselves the Shasta Gang. And they go and they have like, they even have like this little event at Calico where they all get together and camp in their Shastas and stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to hit this dude up. I said, hey, man, I'm selling this trailer. This is what it's going on. I want $3,000 for it. And he goes, so he's all right, cool, man. I'll come check it out. And then so he comes and checks it out. And he's like, eh. He's like, the price is a little high. And I said, okay. And he's all, you know, I got this guy, you know, who buys trailers and stuff. Maybe he might be interested. I said, oh, okay. So then this guy comes out, takes a look at it. And I at that time, I told him, I said, I'll take $2,000 for it. And he looks at it and he's like, so the best I could do is like $1,500. And I should have just said, like, I should have just said, yep, no problem.
Yeah.
But my bullish head said no. So anyway, that moves on. So some more time goes on. Now I'm just going to say, okay, now I'm going to put on Marketplace. I'm going to delve into this whole Marketplace thing. I put it on Marketplace. If I've gotten zero responses on the Titan, I have gotten 50 to 100 responses on this little trailer. And all of them are just like, in the beginning, it was like, I'll give you $1,000. And I said, nah, I'll pass. I know. I don't know why. Right. Okay. I don't know why. So I'm like, okay. So then I relisted it for like $1,500 and I said, okay, I'll take it. And it's funny because like I listed it for $2,000. She took the $1,500, listed it for $1,500. Now I'll take
You're doing this to yourself.
Oh, no, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. This is like, this isn't deal making 101. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like.
Which is funny because like I've bought and sold cars a really long time.
Yeah, well, there's someone else that lives right near you.
I know who has this. All right.
Who does this something similar?
Yeah, I know. Right. Okay. Yeah, well,
maybe lives in a house on your property.
Yeah, I know. Okay. That's enough.
We are a product of our whatever it is. Right?
So now when these dudes hit me up and I have it listed for $1,500, now they say, I'll give you $1,000. I'm all, come get it.
But now they don't
yeah. because it's part of the game.
Yeah.
So, and I had this really funny interaction and I've been meaning to tell you this and tell this on the podcast because it's really funny. Guy hits me up. I'll give you $1,000. Come get it. No response. A couple days later, I said, hey, man, are you going to come get the trailer? It's ready. And he goes, $600. And I was like, nah. And then, he said like, I think I said, yes. I said, $600. I said, yeah, come get it. And he's all, $400. And I'm like, I see where this is going. Yeah. So then I said, nah, man. I said, wait, hold on. I said, you know what? I'm really sick of this trailer. How about I come pay you to come get it? And it piqued this dude's interest because he's like, really? I said, yeah, I'll give you $1,200 for you to come get it. And he goes, really? I said, $800. And then he goes, well, I can come over tomorrow. I'm all, $400. And then he blocked me.
There's a thing about Marketplace. It's an addicting thing to be on and buy and get look for good deals and da da. But then there's the addiction of messing with people.
Yeah.
And I know people that post their interactions.
Yeah, you were talking about that. Yeah.
And I believe there's even a Facebook group for Marketplace interaction screen grabs. It can be dealing with people is just interesting. And then
it is.
You're dealing with a certain type of person now. You know what I mean? So there's just a very small group of people that want that camper.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a certain type of person.
Mm-hmm. And, I see what you're saying.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not, you're dealing with a different type of person than if you were selling like a $30,000 truck or like a bigger RV or a fifth wheel. Mm-hmm. Like you're just, it's just funny.
So then the last one that I had this previous weekend was guy hits me up about the small trailer. And he says, man, no paperwork. Cause I'm straight up. I said, I have no paperwork for this thing.
Yeah.
And he goes, no paperwork, man. He's all like, you're not going to get more than $600. I was like, okay, cool. Thanks for the info. And he goes, then there was some back and forth. And then he said it a couple more times about the paperwork. And I said, hey, look, I said, if you really are in need of a trailer of paperwork, I have this Airstream for sale that I have a title for and it's registered until next year. And so then he's like, oh, really? So now we have this like whole interaction going on because of that. So I've like learned to ride the line. Like I've learned, because like I could have just been like, oh, yeah, no, never mind. No, kick rocks or whatever. But I was like, I'm like, I'm going to take a little more diplomatic approach at this one. And now, and so now I'm talking to him. Am I buying the Airstream? I don't know. But marketplace, man, it's freaking crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild.
That is pretty funny.
But anyway, if anybody wants an Airstream or a Titan or a small camper trailer, which apparently is worth $0.
Everything's worth what someone's willing to pay.
That's it. And that fool a few months ago was willing to pay $1,500.
And yeah. I was like, and it's also just about getting eyeballs on things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's why if you pay a couple extra bucks on certain websites, they put it to the top. They promote it.
Oh,
it's literally just about getting eyeballs on it. Mm-hmm. Have you listed it on anything else? The Titan?
No, just Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. I was going to list it on OfferUp. Try that out.
Yeah, OfferUp's a pretty good one. I know some people that only use OfferUp because they're either not on Facebook, you know, or whatever. And then Craigslist is like, that's where I got the little trailer that I have. Mm-hmm. It's on Craigslist because there's
people
certain
still people, use Craigslist?
Older people.
Oh.
Because
oh,
that's
with
they
money.
Grew up with. Exactly. So it's free, or it is free. Yeah, because you could pay extra to promote it or something. But Craigslist, man, I would list everything you have for sale on Craigslist.
Why 15-ish years ago, I was selling a lot on Craigslist. I was selling a lot of cars on Craigslist.
Yeah,
and it worked really well. You know, I didn't know what the landscape was nowadays because I thought it was more of an obsolete thing. But might as well give it a try.
It's definitely not. I still go on there and look for certain things, but. It's one of those where, yeah, like people in their 40s and mm-hmm. up, they go to look for stuff on Craigslist because that's what they grew up with. Mm-hmm. And it's still the same damn website. They haven't changed
it.
Yeah,
I know.
They haven't made it fancy, which is great because Facebook Marketplace is just, it's insane.
Yeah.
And there's so many ads and people get sick of that. So it's just like anything else, right? When something's great and then it gets ruined because it gets too great or whatever, too. And so what's the next thing after Marketplace? You know, but yeah, I would just throw it on OfferUp, throw it on Market, or throw it on Craigslist, and just why not?
It's not going anywhere. That's for sure.
That's the reason that you would do it.
It's really interesting you brought up that point about how things change and how like things evolve and stuff like that. Because I something came up yesterday, and I thought that it was pretty good that to get your opinion on. Our friend Ben Turpik. I don't know if you saw that whole thing going down with him.
Yeah, and I actually hit him up, and I was like, hey, do you want to be back on the podcast and we can talk about this?
Oh, okay, because that's what I told him, too. I was like, we definitely need to talk about this. So I guess we'll start the conversation now, and we'll pick it up with him later.
Yeah.
Okay, so what he said was, I'm trying to figure out how to approach this, because it's not my place to kind of delve into what he's got going on in his interactions with different people. But basically the sentiment was he was saying how now things have evolved on social media to where everything is a side hustle. Everything needs to be monetized. And we've actually talked about this before fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to be monetized. Everything has to be a side hustle. Everything has to be for a purpose instead of just doing it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was wondering, like, so he says, has social media changed the game? Everybody's hobby is a brand now. Ask yourself, do you provide value? What is it? Am I worthy of making money simply for my hobby? And I thought that was a really great question.
It is a great question, and it's one of those that the fault of many things. And it's like social media has, I mean, you see it all the time on TikTok. That notification that TikTok's trying to push you to sell your content, like make money, monetize your content, da 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 da. And it's almost making people think it's easy to do. So it's just like everyone that thinks that they post content or whatever it is that they're doing, they should be getting paid for. So it's like a two-way deal there.
Yeah. And I think that's what happens. I think people see people making money on the internet, people having brands, producing content, and it just seems like, yeah, you said it really, really well. Like, it just seems easy. It just seems like something easy to do. Because and this is where I didn't want to get into, like, the gray area, because, you know, even he felt bad about, like, the person who kind of presented this idea, you know? It felt like he was kind of, like, climbing on him a little bit. But it was more just kind of, like, an eye-opening thing to open up a discussion about it.
Yeah.
And this person was like, you know, hey, you know, everybody sees my truck and makes comments and I go places. Maybe I should start making money off of this. you know, and that's like sort of the default like idea that people try to do now. And even there was a comment made, you know, in our group about someone. They're like, oh man, you know, these shows get expensive to go to. I wish I could offset the cost a little more. And the suggestion was like, why don't you just like make a banner or something that you can sell at shows? You know, like, again, it just seems like it's just like an easy solution for a problem, you know?
Yeah.
Because Ben, and particularly Ben's point, what value do you provide? I think is the most important question in that whole scenario. Because it's one thing to like, you know, for someone to be like, man, everybody looks at my truck and like and likes my stuff and shares it. I should be making money off of this. And again, it's nothing against this particular person if you know, any of that. But what value does that provide? Like brands, and I'll use me as an example, like the value I provide is I make t-shirts. So I have a tangible product that people can buy and wear, you know. We make these podcasts, we make videos to support that initial, for myself, to support that initial idea. But everything is, those provide value. This podcast provides value. It provides entertainment value. Our videos provide value for entertainment value, but also to, again, like accomplish the first goal of selling t-shirts. But a secondary goal is like when we, like this podcast is sponsored by Switch Suspension. So it's helping Switch Suspension out. So if someone watches this podcast, sponsored by Switch Suspension, oh, I need some bags. They go buy some bags from Switch. That is the provide, that's the value in that.
Yes.
So like when people start coming up with the idea of like, oh, I want to start monetizing my hobby, ask yourself what value you're going to provide.
Yeah.
If it's merely like, I got a cool truck, people make comments on it and I should make money, that's not a provided value.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can, in the end, anyone can do whatever they want.
Oh, know, yeah. Like, and that's the other side of the coin. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because it's a choice, right? Everyone has a choice regard to buy one of our t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a choice to listen to this podcast or a choice to do whatever. So, but if you're going to do something, you should do it, in my opinion, as best as you possibly can.
Right.
Right. So if you're going to take an hour of someone's time, you should make sure that that hour is filled with good audio, good video, you know, like if this video was just blurry and fuzzy, like sometimes it is.
call yourself out, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or bad audio, which we'll circle around back to with my video that I posted earlier. But like you have to provide a quality product, and that comes to t-shirts too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. So if you're going to sell t-shirts, you can't fake the front and just set up a booth and then sell a bunch of shirts, because if you sell crappy shirts, if they're not made right, like how you're saying, like ink cracks and all this stuff are just crappy quality shirts or whatever, like that's not going to do yourself any good, because you might say set up at one show and sell a bunch of shirts, but the next show you set up at, the people that wore your shirts the first time are going to be like, hey, don't buy those shirts because they don't fit right. The quality sucks. So by 5, 6, 7 shows, you're not making any money.
Right.
You know, same with our podcast. If we're talking about subject matter that is not
appealing
or is, I mean, look at the world today. You know what I mean? Like if we started to dive into certain things that doesn't, it's so divisive, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or the quality of the audio sucked. Like people might start like, oh, cool podcast, but it's just going to dive down.
Yeah. Because ultimately, like we've said many, many, many times before, people will see right through fake stuff.
They'll see right through fake stuff. And they just, in the end, the consumer decides what is successful.
You said that. I was just about to say that. Cause you said that last podcast, the customer and that to me is like, you know, a lot of people talk about like capitalism and sales and stuff. Like that's the root of it. The customers and the people are going to dictate, you know, what's successful and what's not successful.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. It's I take it right to the conversation of vehicles and electric vehicles and gas vehicles and this argument that everyone has in the aftermarket and da, 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 da. In the grand scheme of things, the consumer will decide where the where everything goes. And if you look at the automotive world, every automaker is mostly making these little tiny compact SUV that crossovers that look the same. Mm-hmm. Ford doesn't make cars anymore. They're just crossovers, which is telling the world or telling everyone that people just want transportation to get from point A to point B.
Right.
So the consumer's deciding the direction of everything. Mm-hmm. So if the consumer decides to start buying more of this type of vehicle, that's what's going to be made eventually. Mm-hmm. And it goes to the point of if you want to start making something to make money or monetizing your, like if you want to start charging people subscriptions to watch your Instagram, like you have to make sure what you're providing is good content.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I pay for one Patreon. You know, we talked about Patreon in the beginning of this podcast. Mm-hmm. We're like, should we do it? Should we not? We don't know. Should we da da da? And in the end, we didn't because I just think mm-hmm. that it's better to provide free content that's as good as we possibly can make it and then sell t-shirts, which lets the consumer of our podcast dictate what they want to pay for.
Exactly.
They can listen to us and not pay. They can listen to us and be like, yeah, I want a shirt to support you guys. Mm-hmm. Not we say it's $5 a month to listen to us or you don't get to listen to us.
Right, right. But that same model works for some people though.
Yeah.
You know, like there are some podcasts out there that do both. They offer free and then they offer the Patreon.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times they'll do the free and then they're like, all right, we're going to get into the real, you know, shit. Mm-hmm. Come to over to the Patreon kind of thing.
That's more when you get to a different level of.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Of whatever, you know, because mm-hmm. the only people that are listening to us are people in the truck community.
Exactly.
There's no random person that just tunes into
stumbles upon us or whatever.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It's an interesting conversation and it has so many layers to it.
Yeah, I would love to sit down with Ben and get, I mean, he has some strong opinions about it because he put it out there in a public space, you know, how he feels about it.
But he also is like not just in the truck world too.
No, yeah.
So he has that other, he's into a couple different worlds and jobs that don't have anything to do with vehicles.
Yeah.
So he kind of sees it from a different point of view where most people see it only from the custom truck point of view.
Right.
In that world. So. Yeah, it's an interesting topic because how many apparel companies are popping up? How many brands are popping up? How many Instagram pages are popping up? How many media pages are popping up? How many? It's everything, you know?
So really interesting because like we talked about it last week when we were going over questions and someone asked about screen printing versus DTF printing, and I kind of nerded out. Maybe I got a little too technical on it. But I actually did some DTF stuff this week. I did a small softball team, and I made them sweatshirts, and their logo just like we talked about last week, they found a logo online. It's got a lot of halftones in it. To screen print that logo would take a lot of effort to just do the 22 pieces they needed. So I was like, oh, I'm going to try out DTF. I've messed with it a tiny, tiny bit before, but never did a full order on it. So I did. I went over to ninjatransfers.com, uploaded the artwork, got the transfers. They're really nice. They're really nice for what they are. And then funny enough, when I made a little video of me putting it on, pressing it, pulling it off, and I got a lot of messages about like, oh, that's DTF. What's going on with that? Would you see yourself using this on your brand? Other people who start brands were hitting me up. What do you think? This was definitely an option that I thought. And the conclusion that I came to is exactly what we're talking about now. I would not feel comfortable putting it out there as my brand. It worked perfect for this little softball team because they're, you know, 12 kids and a few adults who needed the shirts. Their logo is very complicated. For me to screen this thing would have been, couldn't even do it on my press because it was more than 6 colors. And it was going to take a lot of time to separate the art and do all this stuff. So for that scenario, it worked perfect and it looked killer and they're really going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I would not make 100 of these things and take it to a show and then ask someone to give me $25, $30 for these things. Mm-hmm. Just because, again, what value am I going to provide?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do all of this work of doing this podcast and making these videos and producing Instagram content every day, you know, promoting my brand to only at the end have someone grab my t-shirt and go like, oh, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So like, and that's the conclusion that I came to. And, you know, and even like on Reddit, I'm on a, like everything else, there's a screen printing subreddit and that question gets up a lot. Just this morning, I was reading about a guy who was getting so frustrated with, you know, people coming to him and asking for screen printing stuff and then getting, you know, hesitant on the price. And he's like, I'm just going to close the whole thing down and go DTF. But then a lot of people saying like, well, that's going to probably bite you in the butt in the long run because it's harder. It takes longer to produce than screen printing. And yeah, at the end of the day,
imagine having to DTF hundreds and hundreds of T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now I forgot what I was going to say.
No, it's okay. We were just talking about perceived value is basically what we're talking about. And it, and the original...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just going to say the original point of the conversation is there's people out there who would like to maybe monetize their hobby, but they have to ask themselves, how am I going to do that and provide value?
And I even feel like I know that, like, I've had this YouTube channel for 15 years. I've put out hundreds of videos and put in the work. Like, I know that I've done that. So I feel confident in selling shirts, right? But I still feel bad when I charge someone for a t-shirt, one of my friends. Someone that, like, someone that, like, supports the podcast. Not necessarily, like, a close friend, but, like, our buddy Stone, Matt Stone, and Lance, right? Like, Matt just bought two of the white hats that I had. He's like, I want two of each. And then when I put the hoodies up, he bought a hoodie. And I'm like, man, this dude buys everything that I make.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he's like these people that support all the time. It's not that I feel bad that I'm charging them, but I'm just like, man, it's like a cool feeling, but then almost just like a damn, you know what I mean? Like, almost even when I post stuff for sale, like shirt art and hey, this pre-order, hey, this is available. I'm almost like, I feel pushy and I feel, it's a feeling I should not have, but I have. So when anyone's asking someone for their money, it goes back to like the, make sure you're providing value. But like, if you are a person and you're saying, give me money, your money that you worked for, you have to make sure what you're giving in return is good and a quality product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like my YouTube videos when I go and make a whole video that was really, really good and none of the audio works.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot go
into the next thing.
I cannot, in good faith, I had audio. There was audio to that video. So backstory, I just uploaded a video for anyone that hasn't seen it. It is me voicing over of some of the stuff down at Panda Shop. So I was like, okay, I went down there and we were going to get the hood onto the Toyota and figure it all out. And it was a fun video. It was super fun.
The original one. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I came home and I was going to put it together and it was only the camera audio. It wasn't microphone audio. I didn't have a shotgun mic on the top. And I was like, you could hear us talking, but it was so noisy because of the fans and the background noise. And it's like, I was like, I cannot upload this video.
Yeah,
I could, but it's not a good video for me to, you know what I mean? I can't upload a video like that and then go, hey guys, buy shirts for me.
Exactly. Yeah, I know exactly what you're trying to say. That's your responsibility to the consumers.
So I got in my truck 2 days later, drove back down there and redid the entire thing as best as I possibly could in that scenario, which I think, you know, it came out great.
Yeah, like, I loved it
for whatever it needed to be. And then I tossed the trailer stuff in there to kind of add to it, to give extra value for where I had a shortcoming.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let me throw some extra stuff in there. And but that video, it was so funny, man. I wish I would have got good audio on that. And it was so my fault. Like, so stupid.
Hey, mistakes happen.
Yeah.
Mistakes happen all the time. No, but it was a fantastic video. I loved it. I'm excited to see the exciting conclusion of the red truck build. It's coming so close to the end.
It is coming super close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that truck, we're hoping to have that truck a day to remember.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's the goal.
Oh, nice. Goal. Yeah. Okay, cool. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So. The red truck was great. Love the is that like done at day to remember?
Well, driving.
Driving, okay.
Yeah. I mean...
I'm not talking about, like, paint interior and all that stuff.
No, definitely, like a running, driving vehicle.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, because I'm not taking... I'm taking my Tacoma today to remember. And then Eric will come get his truck, or I will take his truck to him, and then he will take it to Data Remember.
That's cool. Heck yeah. That's all. That is a perfect like wrap up to that whole thing.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. The other big thing in that video that was incredible is the other Toyota that he's building. The standard cab that he's putting the 4Runner sides on.
Yeah.
Incredible. And I just posted a thing yesterday about, like, obviously the video, the reel that Panda made is about him putting on the 4Runner bedsides. That's obvious. And I said, I did the classic, like, you know, if you know, you know kind of thing. What I was actually referring to is it's bagged on six lug suspension.
Yeah.
That was, to me, is like, oh, wow, that is something unique. You know,
because it's also it's that truck. Okay, that truck is super cool and stuff. But the six lug thing makes no sense. Like, anyone going from five to six.
It was five before.
Yeah, those trucks didn't come in six lug.
Oh, so they used six lug parts. Oh, I thought they took a.
And I don't want to talk bad, but I don't want to say anything negative.
Oh boy.
But there's no reason to do that.
I understand that part because, like, the ultimate goal is to go the other way. And if you had
the ultimate goal is there's no reason to do it.
Right. No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, if you start off with a six lug suspension, I think the wires got crossed in my brain is because it had 4Runner sides. I'm like, oh, obviously it's a 4Runner suspension that they bagged. That's not true. But obviously the goal is to go from six to five because more wheel options, better wheel options.
Yeah.
So, but this guy wanted the six lug.
Yeah. There's almost no wheels, and people are going to correct me, but if you have a six lug truck, you're limited on wheel options.
Yeah. Very.
If a five lug truck, you can get the same wheels that you could have got on a six lug too, and more.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know, so like, I mean, you're not going to be able to run Titan wheels on a five lug, but people run Titan wheels not because they look good. They run Titan wheels because that's limited, and so that's the best looking wheel in their thing. But if they have five lug, and I so many people are like, I'm keeping six lug, I'm just keeping six lug, and it's like, just go five lug.
Yeah,
go five lug, like. Anyways, but it is an interesting,
I think it just fits the whole, honestly, I think it fits the whole aesthetic of the truck.
It wasn't supposed to have 4Runner bedsides. So if you watch my video, they were not going to put the 4Runner bedsides on.
Yeah, I know that was like a later decision made. Because that's what you said in the video, that the guy decided that he was going to add these 4Runner sides.
So imagine just the Toyota truck with six lug wheels on it.
That would not make sense. Without the bedsides. Yeah, right? That would not make sense. Adding the 4Runner bedsides actually does give it an aesthetic because it looks like a standard cab 4Runner type thing bagged on six lug suspension.
Yeah. The other bad thing. So I talked to Panda about this and I was like, this truck is freaking cool. These mods are cool, but it's not going to come through, right? It's just bagged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That thing needs to be body dropped.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, definitely.
We're going to have to do this again. We're gonna have to do this same thing again. Get it 84 to 88, get those same bedsides.
Oh, but body drop it.
So you see where I'm going with
this. I see where you're going with this. Just do my Tacoma first. How about that, guys?
You're like, no. No, this will be a 2020 late 2026 project.
Yeah,
but it has to happen. And it only has to happen now because of how cool that thing came out.
Yeah.
Like you look at that and you're just like, oh, this is, why has no one, maybe someone has done that before and I don't know.
I have never seen that. That was the first time.
And for anyone listening, we haven't even said what they did, right?
No, we did. They took 4Runner
bedsides
and welded onto a standard cab truck.
Yeah.
And like grafted it into the side. And I liked how it became more complex. Like, I loved it in the beginning. He's like, yeah, we're just going to cut slide it and like no. And you have to graft it into the truck. I think it's gonna be sick when it's finished, regardless of, you know, the lugs.
Oh, it's 100% gonna be sick.
Yeah,
it's 100% gonna be cool.
Yeah, but it could be cooler.
But it could be go from dang to so sick.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Because right now you're gonna see and you're like, that's freaking rad, because of the mods.
Right.
Not because of the overall end look.
Right.
You're just like, oh, man, I wish it was this.
What I would envision it as is like that, painted the stock 4Runner with the stock graphics, body dropped on like stock 4Runner wheels.
Yeah. I'd like to see it both ways. I'd like to see it one that way. and then one completely with a custom paint job, like a candy red paint job on it.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
It, right, you know, like both ways would be like mine. It would be like, oh, they would look cool.
You know, it's we're in a very interesting flashpoint in our little scene here, with Panda at the epicenter of it. And I was thinking about this earlier, is I think for like a little bit of time, there was this thing where there were just the trucks that existed in the scene were just kind of old builds, you know, that people were maintaining and making better and doing stuff to them. Not saying that they were not doing anything, but the scene really comprised of a lot of like trucks that were just kind of passed around.
Yeah.
Panda has now, he's built your Tacoma. He's built the red truck. He's building this new Toyota, his Toyota, mine. That's five new trucks.
Yeah.
Out there.
It's always that's always been kind of my little goal in throw new trucks into the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Not done trucks, just throwing trucks that are people, instead of someone going on Marketplace going, oh, that's an old build, I'll just get that because it's kind of already done. How about you just get this thing that was never a thing and now is got some quality suspension under it, and now take it and do your thing with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it's working.
But you're right. We are. We're also in this weird point where custom, we got to, like, everyone was doing stock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what you're doing, basically. Mm-hmm. Stock body dropped. But now with, like, seeing those bedsides, it kind of perks this little thing of, like, well, let's do something wild.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, and that's not me, per se. But seeing it, someone else do it, I'm like, heck yeah, do it. Go all out.
Yeah.
You know, go all out. Shave your taillights. Put weird headlights in. All the things that I did back in the day with my Acura lights and weird stuff that I maybe won't do now or maybe we'll do later, but it's just like seeing other people take chances, and that's the best part about mini trucks.
Oh, uh-huh.
Is just taking chances and going, yeah, that might work. You know, with renderings and stuff, like you could kind of see what works and what doesn't, and you can kind of know. I think it goes back to the conversation of like people doing things just because.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of not a thing anymore as much as it used to be. But then people are like sitting back and thinking about things more.
Yeah. And, well, that's the thing. And that's what we always go back to, that is planning something out. Before it was just like a off the cuff thing. Like, you know what? I'm going to try to stick those taillights in that truck.
Yeah. Cause I have them in my house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know,
or two
what?
Cool things. Like a Civic is cool and a truck is cool. Let's make them a thing. And it's like, don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that. The trucks are cool by themselves.
Yeah. But if you find something that a random set of headlights that might flow with the thing, do that thing.
Yeah.
Like, don't not do the mod, but just find the right flow for the mod.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm excited for it. I had that thought watching your video. Excited that the build series are back. Not back, but there's another build series, you know, video. So looking forward to it.
And next week there'll be another one where I'm taking the Tacoma back down to Pandas.
Okay.
And we're gonna get it going, do some modifications to it, and then we're gonna do Joey's truck. You know, these are like what I have to realize with some of these videos is there's not this big long drawn out process. I need to draw out a small process into a video.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Tacoma is only going to be a day thing, but I'm going to make a whole video of it. I'm not going to wait until multiple days of work on it to make a video. I need to learn to find that happy medium. And then same with the red truck, the clutch master cylinder. We're doing a completely different thing than I've ever seen before with it. So I'm going to make that an entire video.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So like,
I think that's the point, is finding interesting things to stretch out. Sometimes there are videos made when you watch it for 20, 30 minutes and you're like, nothing happened.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
so
what I mean?
So that's the other side of the problem, right? Yeah. That's the thing. Because sometimes I'm watching this, I'm trying to do the videos and I'm pointing the camera at myself and I'm like, I don't even know what to talk about. Like, is it too much of me? Is it too much of just Panda? So I try to get both of us in the thing. And then it's just this weird trying to find the right. The right way to do things.
Which goes back to my thought a few weeks ago when I finished the Mini Nats video about we are the directors, we are the producers, we are the filmers, we are the editors, and right now you by yourself are trying to storyboard this idea that normally on a bigger project or on a professional project, so to speak, you have three guys sitting around saying, all right, this is what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. you're doing all of this on your own and producing a quality product at the end of it.
Yeah. The and only people that, like how you're saying, there's people that like direct and produce. You want to know who directs and produces these videos? The people that watch them.
The viewers, yeah.
And it goes back to the consumer dictates the product. Mm-hmm. So my videos don't get a lot of views, but they get a lot of feedback and a lot of comments. And so when I see a bunch of people coming up to the booth and they're like, hey, I like what you're doing. Hey, like, the red truck. Hey, the Tacoma. Hey, the this. Hey, the that. I go, well, these people are liking it and they're buying a t-shirt and it's telling me to just keep doing this.
It's the direct line that I talk about, you know, talking about something and then something happening after it. And a lot of people, okay, to go right back to, and not to beat up on this particular person, but to go back to that thought about.
Because it's not him. It's not him.
It's not him. No. It's like this whole idea. It's like this whole idea that, you know, okay, I want to monetize this thing so I can get that YouTube money. Well, the YouTube, yeah, that's one thing. But what we're more interested in is that direct action to reaction.
Yeah.
Creating content, buying a t-shirt. That is like the most straightforward line that we're trying to accomplish, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the only thing, I don't know if this was on purpose. You could correct me, but you talked about your seats, showed your seats, and you didn't show them in the truck.
Didn't put, they're not, they're sitting in my room.
Oh, they're not in yet.
No, I'm not going to put them in until it's painted.
All right. I was wondering, I was like, man, those things are so sick. Never saw them in the truck.
Yeah. I don't want to put them in the truck and then take it and then ruin them.
Oh, well, yeah. Because, you just didn't like say that.
Yeah. And that's where like my, so here's another funny part to that video. Uh-huh. I made a whole video where I take the small trailer out of my garage. Because that trailer has all of our truck club stuff for the show. Mm-hmm. That's where it's stored, is inside our club trailer. So I sold the club trailer, the other one. Well, all that stuff now lived in my garage in the little trailer. Mm-hmm. So it was all shoved in here. It was like I had no room for anything. So when I got the new trailer, I went to storage, parked it. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go over the trailer now. I'm going to go and show what options we put on there and talk about it. So I grabbed the small trailer, hooked it up, take it down to trailer storage, unhooked it, hooked the big trailer up, pulled the big trailer up, backed them up, put the gates down, and then I was taking everything out of the small trailer, putting it in the big trailer. I did this whole walk around. Mind you, it's 110 degrees while I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Filming myself, doing all this stuff. Don't know where the footage is.
Oh, really? It's gone?
I don't know if I just never dumped it. I got home. And it was hot. I was delusional.
Delusional?
I get home. I don't know where the footage went. So now I'm watching this video and I'm trying to edit the trailer part. And in the video I go, I'll go over the trailer when I get home. And I'm like, well, I never did that. So I need to cut that part out. And then the original way I filmed that video, I had to edit it to where it was totally different. Now it's just this, because I went to a show after that too. I didn't put any of that in there.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I talked about it. I was like, okay, we left the seat place. You know, we left the upholstery shop. Now we're going to the show. We have to get there by 5 p.m. And it's a 4.5 hour drive. And we're towing this trailer. And we're going through rain. I did all this stuff. I couldn't put it in there because it didn't make any sense. It didn't make sense anymore because I changed. Because it was going to go from the trailer video into the giveaway truck video.
Mm-hmm.
And now my... But I don't know. So it's just like, I'm just like trying to figure out how to do these things and changing the direction of things. And
Like I said, you're one guy trying to figure all this out to produce a quality product for people to watch and consume.
Yeah. I will forget certain things. Like you said, the seats. Like, oh, you did. Because honestly, I didn't show the seats sitting in my house and going, man, I really love these
seats.
That's
true. Yeah, that's true. You only showed them.
I didn't do that either.
Yeah. You just showed them at the shop.
Yeah. So whatever. Yeah. Some things are left in. Some things are left out.
We're only human, man.
Or whatever. But I'm just trying to figure out. This whole red truck's throwing me for a loop because we were supposed to be on our second, third build by now.
Yeah. It has kind of went on a little bit, huh?
Yeah. So just like the Tacoma did, this red truck did. And now I know what not to do and what to do. So like the OBS will be kind of the beginning of the fast thing.
Okay.
You know, because the OBS is just going to be bagged.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be in and out. And then whatever we bring in after that will be in and out. Like these things, I can't have this spot at Pandas.
Right.
That's there for 10 months or 12 months. And I can't be down there. It's just this whole thing. So
it was funny because I was talking to my mechanic until like I took the Tacoma over there, and he was doing some stuff, and he's like, I said, yeah, I'm gonna be taking it out to Arizona, getting it done. And he's like, oh cool. He's like, so what is that, like a year, a couple year wait to get it done? I was like, no. So we're getting these things done quickly.
Yeah.
So just kind of funny. But anyway, we'll see. Hopefully.
You never know.
2 years from now, well, the Tacoma's almost done.
You're like, hey, man, can I come out and film some work on my Tacoma? Hello?
Yes.
What's going on?
No response.
No response. It's just your worst nightmare.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. And your video is going to be from a whole different perspective, too, of like where mine was.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, yeah, it's just you're not building this truck and then building another truck and then building another truck and then building another truck.
Mm-hmm.
Like where I built my Tacoma and I'm keeping it. So it's a long-term thing. But then like now my thing is to build, sell.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, you know, like yours is like build, keep, and then
create
go on adventures with. So yeah. Now you need to almost plan adventures, and then which adventures am I going to take the truck on? And then
I can't wait for that because that is what it's going to be. Yeah. It's going to be, once we get to the other side of this build process, it's going to be like, all right, where are we going now? What are we loading in the truck and where are we going? You know, that's going to be the whole, like so it's kind of funny. Cause like, you know, we're coming to a thing where we're both kind of creating similar content where we're like going to build this stuff, but then it's going to go two ways. Like you're going to continue on that path building stuff. And I'm going to be like, okay, now I'm taking this thing. What are we going to do with it? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
It will be. It'll mm-hmm. Cause I eventually want to do something like how you're doing too, where I can, the OBS was supposed to be that. The
right,
OBS
I remember.
Was supposed to be throw my booth stuff in the bed, drive it to a show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think plans have changed, but eventually I would love to have what I have with my Tacoma now, but with something more utilitarian that I can throw the whole booth, a 10x10 basically,
mm-hmm.
booth, you know, shrink a booth down to a 10x10 and drive it to Cruise of the Pines or drive it to this. So mm-hmm. eventually there'll be something in that thing, but
yeah, it'll get there.
Yeah. What I was going to talk about is drop t-shirts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're doing them. You're going to print them up for Cruise of the Pines. You got those. Did you get those one brand t-shirts?
I did.
What do you think about them?
Man, you're putting me on the spot right now. My initial holding them, I haven't tried them on yet, to be completely honest with you. I just got them recently. So I was looking at them. I'm like, I like the feel of the other ones better. But that was my completely out of the box first reaction. Yeah. They are definitely, so what you're saying is we usually print on American Apparels. So anybody who owns any of our shirts knows what that is. So now we're talking about going to Comfort Colors, which previously Comfort Colors was the brand. Like if you had a high end brand, you were printing on Comfort Colors. Unfortunately, what has happened now is Gildan has bought Comfort Colors and they're doing their Gildan thing to it. And it's not me just dunking on Gildan or anything. Like I'm seeing posts of people saying like, hey, these like people laying out sizes and they're like, hey, these two sizes are different, you know? And, or now the biggest thing you can tell when, quality goes down because production goes up is holes.
Yeah.
Is little pinholes in it. Cause what happens is they're putting them in the machine so fast that sometimes the machine misses and pokes a hole in it.
Yeah.
And, if you ever got one of our shirts and it somehow slipped through, cause I'm really usually like pretty on it about catching them if they have holes, but I don't know if one has slipped through, but if you end up with like a pinhole, that's what happened. And now people are saying that the Comfort Colors are starting to have pinholes in them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we're trying this new thing. But the thing is they're literally twice the price. Yeah. They're still twice the price.
Yeah.
You know? And so we're going to give that a test on these drop shirts. We're going to print them on Comfort Colors. See how people like them. Let us know. So when we do print these drop shirts and you get one, let us know what you think. If you get it, and honestly, be really honest. Like if you get one and you're like, I didn't notice a difference, you know?
Yeah. I want to know. It's because it's obviously going to be a very small test.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Test run. But the people that do buy our drop shirts are our friends that always mm-hmm. buy our t-shirts.
Yeah.
So when you do buy these, yeah, let us know. Oh, these are cool. Because what I would love to do is step up the quote. Like if it makes any difference, is like print either certain shirts or all the shirts. I don't know how it's going to work, but it would be nice to have like a more premium t-shirt.
Right.
That you, yeah, they're going to cost more, you know, the cost of the shirt, the raw shirt is doubled. That doesn't mean you double the price of the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so,
no.
So that's just the raw product. But yeah, say they're $30 now and we go to $35 on the internet, or they're $25 at a show and $30, you know what I mean, at mm-hmm. a show. Will people be like, I want people to go, that shirt, that I got the shirts from those guys and they're good quality shirts. If you want a good quality shirt, go to them.
Right.
You know, not good quality a sense, but just like a different fitting. Like when I, cause yeah. when I used to print on the premium next levels, I still have people coming up and be like, hey, I bought a shirt from you. And it was, da, da, da. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't print on those shirts anymore. Cause they got too expensive, and they'll walk away.
Yeah.
But then there's some people that don't like next level and then they do like our shirts.
Yeah.
So like,
it's all preference.
It's never going to be a perfect world when it comes to different type of shirts. But if you can offer like a similar shirt that we do, but also more of a premium one.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It's all marketing anyway.
Yeah, it is. And once I get more familiar with them, you know, I'll have a better, you know, kind of like a review on them, I guess.
Because so, did you print your new shirts on those or no?
I'm going to.
You're going to.
Yeah.
So you haven't laid ink on them yet.
No. I just got them. So, okay. Yeah. So I haven't been able to do that. But actually today, that's what I'm working on. So I'll have a really good idea on exactly what's going on.
Yeah, because different shirts lay the ink. Is different on them or no?
Yeah, like, sometimes like you can notice like these ones will be really nice because the higher quality shirts, the knitting is tighter. So when you lay the ink on top of it, it's smoother. And that's the one thing I love about the ones we print on normally for our brand is the knitting is really tight. You get smooth prints. When you start like noticing that they start getting a real weird like texture because the fibers are coming through, that means it's a lower quality shirt.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's not very tightly knitted and, you know, it's kind of like a lower production. So it's a good indication on the quality of t-shirt.
Yeah. Higher production.
Higher production. That's what, yeah.
Lower quality.
Lower quality.
That's just like anything, right? When when something's great and because it's like, oh, this is a locally owned, da 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 da. Tastes good. Maybe it's a sauce or I think or of that. Coffee. Remember that Rao's spaghetti sauce? Everyone was like, oh, yeah. Oh, it's so good. And then Campbell's Bottom.
Yes. That's a perfect example.
And then
example.
People were like, this is different now. And then some people are like, nah, it's the same. And some people are like, no, it's different. And I don't know if it was or not, but that's what it is.
That's what right? it is.
Like you create this in your kitchen, you make these cookies and they're the best cookies ever. Mm-hmm. And then you start to make them, sell them. And then Nestle comes in and they're like, hey, we'll give you $5 million for your recipe. We're not going to change your recipe. We just, and then so they do it and then it ruins. It's that, something.
That is Gildan. That's what Gildan has done. It used to be Allstyle was its independent company. Spectra is. So Allstyle was an independent company. Comfort Colors was an independent company. American Apparel was an independent company. I'm pretty sure Next Level too. Yeah, because Next Level was Bella. Yeah.
Yeah.
Independent companies. Gildan came through and bought them. And then what they did was, so they started buying these brands. And then there used to be, so the website that I order from is called S&S Activewear. So there used to be S&S Activewear. There used to be this one called Alpha Border. There was another one called Sanmar. And there were like all these different companies that you could, if this company didn't have them, then you can go over here. And then sometimes they would compete against each other. Gildan came in and bought S&S. They bought Alpha Border. They bought Sanmar and rolled them into one thing. So now it's all S&S Activewear.
And this is a classic thing of you cannot lower your people. They're not going to lower their prices now because there's no competition.
No, they made more.
There's no competition. When you take out competition, it raises prices.
It does. It raises prices. And like if I was to search for something that is a plus about it is, and this was what they were kind of explaining, is like, well, now that we own all the warehouses, we can ship to you much faster and cheaper. And which is true. That is true. They can ship much faster and much cheaper. So that is one plus to it. But then now you're stuck. You're just like, well, and now you go like you get a like 1301 Allstyles or now American Apparels. You're like, man, this was not how they were 5 years ago. But now you can't turn around and go, you can. There's a way to do it, to go to other companies, but it's not easy, you know? So now you just go, okay, well, that's what we do.
It's like grocery stores, Kroger. Kroger's like the Gildan, right? Mm-hmm. They just go and they buy Safeway and they buy this and they buy that. And then all of a sudden, if your groceries, you go to one grocery store and you're like, man, the prices here are expensive. I'm going to go to this other grocery store down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that grocery store, it doesn't matter now because they're all owned by the same people. There's no, if you take competition out of the market,
it's the illusion of
competition. It's the illusion of competition.
It's the illusion.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Well, that's your economy civics lesson for today.
All right.
All right, man. Well, that was good. I hope you have fun this weekend. Hope it's not too ridiculously hot.
It will be. It won't be as hot as last year because last year, it's like an intervention when when that heat really kicked in around like 1 o'clock, people they didn't walk around, and that was like last year was same. Me and we're just sitting at the booth and we're like, there's no one walking around.
Yeah, they're all just
there's thousands and thousands of people here, but they're not walking around. So I'm hoping the cooler weather makes people walk around, buy some t-shirts, and yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we'll report back next week.
Yes, we will.
All right.
All right.
Later.